This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. I'm Rob Motti with my beautiful wife, Remy, and it is great to be with you again. ESPN Richmond, Angels Radio LA, Fox Sports Las Vegas, The Game Orlando, ESPN Charlotte, Real Sports LA. I run out of breath saying all these. ESPN South Jersey and 107.5 Alive. Did I miss anybody? Thank you for tuning in or listening to the podcast. Our guest this week for our Christmas special, Tim Tebow, who really needs no introduction. Yeah. And we also have another special guest joining us right now, Pastor Johnny Scott from our new church home,
Yay!
Generations Christian Church in Trinity, Florida. Pastor Johnny, great to have you on. Finally, we did this.
So good to be with you guys. And welcome to Florida. Welcome
Thank
to
you.
Florida.
You know what? You guys have been so welcoming, yes. Not just the church community, but everybody here in Florida. It's been awesome. These past, what is it now, 4 months? Are we going on 4 months?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
It's right? We're celebrating our first Christmas now. We're hosting Christmas. This
we
is
are.
Why we got
Pray
it all.
Pray for us. Pray for us.
You know. Of course you are. Because when you move to Florida, man, people come out of the woodwork. They're like, hey, we've been wanting to connect with you guys. What? How's July look? Or, you know, Christmas. These are the payoff months.
You start to figure it out when they go, how many bedrooms do you have in the new
house?
How many bathrooms? Yeah. Oh, okay. Is there a special guest room? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
You're hosting, right? I'm like, I guess. Yeah,
I love it.
What we wanted to do this week is just really talk, and Tim will talk about this coming up in the next segment, what Christmas means to him and really the true meaning behind Christmas. We know it's so commercialized, and we know so many people are caught up right now in buying gifts and shopping and everything else. But Pastor Johnny, what is for you, what is the true meaning of Christmas? How will you talk about it to everyone at Generations?
Well, you know, I hang out with a lot of mentors that are older, just a little older pastors than me that have been doing this for a long time. And, you know, sometimes they lament, they're like, man, you know, I've preached Christmas series for 25 years. And they're like, here's the crazy thing. Just when you're like, what am I going to say that's new about this season? They're like, it happens. It happens. And it's a little bit of a trite saying. It's the greatest story ever told. And we hear that and we're like, yeah, but we think that we know every nuance, right? And so what we try to do, I think it's the Bible's not boring. People are boring. And boring people make the Bible boring.
Okay. Yeah.
And so what we've got to do is we've got to rediscover the wonder and the awe. And there are these links where it's impossible to talk about the Christmas story without saying, Oh my God, like Nehemiah plays in here and Daniel plays in here. And there are these tentacles that reach out from the fullness of time, as Paul writes to the church in Galatia, that like reach out and grab like 2,000 years back and Moses and the dawn of time. And it is this one moment that all of history, both future and past, swing on this one moment when heaven invades earth. And so I've been thinking recently, because today, full disclosure, today is my 25th wedding anniversary. 25 years of marriage.
We're happy wedding,
right?
25.
Right?
Oh, wow.
I know. So wow. Big date wow. Night tonight. We do the normal, and it's we Cheesecake Factory because the menu's so big. It's
we
just
went to the fair yesterday. Right? We love it.
And people, they get all highbrow. I'm like, come on, it's great. And then, there's always a couple of things that we finish up shopping for, because we'll be down at our favorite place, and so. I can't help but look at this season for me personally without also looking at kind of marriage and this beautiful story that God writes is the church is the bride and Jesus is pursuing of her. Mm-hmm. Because Christmas and his death and the resurrection and his like relentless, I'm coming for you, I'm coming for you, I'm coming for you. It's all one package. So it's funny to me how we cannot extract, the world, the enemy cannot extract the DNA of the pursuer upon Christmas. I mean, and so much so the enemy wants to be like happy holidays or, yes. And Jesus, and here's why, here's my thing. There's this famous book famous book for premarital counseling for couples. It's called The Love Languages. Chapman wrote it. And a lot of people are like, oh, the love language. And, you know, we talk about it. It's like a joke in our family. And I was like, what's your love language? What's yours? And people rank themselves. If you don't know, there's words of affirmation, physical touch, gift giving, receiving, quality time, and service. Here's my premise for you guys. I want you to just chew on this just a little bit. There's something about Christmas and the DNA of the pursuer of Jesus in Christmas that all of those ways that every person communicates love, Christmas and the person of Christ touches those. I mean, you think about this season. It's a season where more than any other time, you're prompted to say words to people that you wouldn't any other time, you know, like to a coworker or someone that just, there's something about, it's like, you know what? We're all dressed up. I'm just going to say something. I want to acknowledge Susie. Like, words of affirmation happen at this time of year more than any other. And it's got his mark on it. Right. Yeah. And that's why you can't stomp out the Christ of it. What about this physical touch? I mean, there are people that are like, so stone cold, like, you know, like they don't want to hug, you know, they get that feeling. Like, don't hug it, man.
Now, right. With COVID, yeah. Keep your distance, put your mask on, all that.
Totally.
It's awkward. Totally. Yeah.
But you feel that. With at Christmas time, people that you would never hug, right? Or never like, and they're like, they soften just a little bit. And then gifts, everyone should be growing. You know, my wife will be like, hey, you know, I'm good at the top three. Just leave me alone on those two. Leave me alone. I'm like, no. Like, Jesus is this perfect person. He's perfect. And he calls us to grow in all these ways. And so with gift giving and gift receiving, even though it's over commercialized, we can't like poo-poo it. We can't down it because Jesus invented it more than any other person. We get gifts in heaven. We get new bodies. We get new names. We get a new home. I mean, this is the DNA of God, not commercialization. We just got to stop the perversion of it and pull back the beauty of we connect with our God-likeness in our inner being when we give and receive gifts and then quality time.
Yeah.
And just think of Jesus in his life. If there's a mark on his life, I just picture Jesus like, hey, I got to go be with my dad. Hey, man, I got to go be with the Spirit. Hey, guys, and everyone's like, Jesus was an introvert. No, he wasn't. He was going to small group. Jesus was in a small group. Totally. He was just like, I got to get with my, Right? That's what he was doing. That quality time. And what do we do at Christmas? You know, we get together with people and family. And if sometimes, you know, there are some of the most special people in my life that I don't like at Christmas time. I'm like, well, I'm with other people more than I am some of that, my own family. Right. And like, I love you guys. And then those acts of service. I mean, we just feel the service come out of us at this season. Right. And so all of these things are intricately put onto us when God forms us in our mother's womb. And it's like, I'm going to make you, I'm going to bake you, and I'm going to make you special. And when we exercise these things, we become more alive. You know, my wife is in charge of what we call Christmas magic. She's like, my job in the home is to bring Christmas magic. Guys, I see your tree. We've got 4 fully decorated trees in our home. Wow. Okay.
We're only on two.
I used to have four in New Jersey. And then I only like brought 2 with me. Yeah.
Because now you get a rebuild though, right? Right.
Yes.
But here's why, because like we've got to bring these moments in for our children and for people to visit us or everyone. What we're doing is we're not keeping like the world's version of Christmas magical life. No. We're reconnecting with all of these things that were sown into us the moment we became life in the image of God. And the more that we do that, like that's what's going to hold our kids and our loved ones close. That's going to what make people say, you know, Christians celebrate Christmas unlike anyone else. And it's because it's our birthright to own it. So I'm excited. I wanted to put that just kind of in front of you guys today and let you do what I'm doing. So I'm wrestling with it, right?
I love it. I haven't broken the news to Remy that the NFL has 2 games on Christmas. So while she's hosting and entertaining, I'm kind of distracted with work. It's my job.
I know. You got such a weird, and I know those games. But
you see, I waited to break the news to her while Pastor Johnny was
so
on.
He can pray for you. Right? He needs to.
Yeah, we call this the Jerry Maguire.
At least I'll be home, though. I'll be home. I'm not going to be at a game.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun.
It'll be just fine. So it's developing. Everything is developing.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for what you do, and I love football on Christmas. You know, because it's not work to me. It's like total release. I'm a fan of fandom. Right.
That's great. Well, we appreciate you spending some time with us, Pastor John. We're looking forward to our future at Generations Christian Church this week.
Love having you guys.
Love what you guys are doing. The series that you guys just completed was awesome. It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And everything that you guys are doing is so welcoming, and we appreciate that.
Well, I can't wait to see you guys at the 11 o'clock service.
Yes. Yes.
It's my favorite, Remy. It's my favorite. It's the best one.
No doubt. Up next, we're going to hear from Tim Tebow. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
For nearly 100 years, the Masters University has held an uncompromising commitment to Christ and Scripture, equipping thousands of young people to have an impact for the Lord across the world. The school offers more than 150 accredited programs, all taught from a biblical worldview, as well as financial aid options and 17 intercollegiate athletic teams. Visit the Masters University in Santa Clarita, California, or at masters.edu. That's masters.edu.
This is Emmett Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. If you're listening to us for the first time, you can go to faithonthefieldshow.com and find every episode since we launched in 2017. We've had an incredible lineup of guests. You can listen anytime at your convenience on any of the podcast platforms. You'll hear full interviews on there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field, and tell a friend or two. I want to take a minute to thank our awesome sponsors. Please check them out on our website, International Justice Mission, the Masters University, Heritage's Dairy Stores. I just visited Masters University last week. What an incredibly beautiful campus out there in Santa Clarita, California. It was great to see our good friend Wayne and Harry visit with Dr. John MacArthur. Everyone there was so friendly. The students are amazing kids, and you could just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit on that campus. I loved it. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show and help our ministry grow, please reach out to us at team@faithonthefieldshow.com. We have various packages that we can cater specifically to fit your needs. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. We had tremendous growth in 2021, and we hope to continue that. If you don't have a business to advertise on, but you just want to help the ministry, we do have a donate button on our page on faithonthefieldshow.com. And you can also help out by purchasing some of our merch through Remy's 828 Threads Apparel store. We have t-shirts, so much more. Check it out. Really cool stuff. You can find it on our site, faithonthefieldshow.com. under merch. Our guest this week, Tim Tebow, led Florida to two national championships. He won a Heisman Trophy. He was 9-7 as a starting quarterback with the Denver Broncos after being a first-round pick. He had a playoff win during that time. We had Tim on earlier this NFL season, and I wanted to have him back on for our Christmas special. Here's our conversation. First off, tell me a little bit about Campus Legends and your partnership with the Heisman Trophy Trust and what you guys are doing together, Tim.
Yeah, it's super exciting. So Campus Legends is super exciting. It's something I'm grateful to be a partner in, something I feel like we can give current student-athletes and former student-athletes an awesome opportunity to be able to use their name, image, and likeness in partnership with the schools, in partnership with opportunities like the Heisman, to really be able to come up with some awesome NFTs that can be really exciting and really fun for the. And I think really the coolest way to kind of tie it all together is it's a way to support the university, support the athletes, support the fans, and bring them all together to relive a lot of their favorite moments. And as me being a diehard college football fan and college sports fan in general, I think it's just really exciting to have the opportunity to gain some of your favorite moments, some of your favorite athletes, some of your favorite collections, and in a really cool way. So that's something I'm excited about. And then also super excited about the partnership that we have with the Heisman Trophy Trust and getting, you know, all these guys I looked up to for so long, to be honest with you, you know, Heisman winners and future Heisman winners on board to be able to relive those moments and be able to put that in someone's digital wallet and digital collectibles. And so they can relive some of their favorite moments as well and from some of their favorite schools. So I think that's going to be really exciting and super pumped for kind of some of our first drops with the Heisman Trophy Trust that will be coming out soon. And I know their creative team and our creative team have been working on it, so that's going to be really fun to see that as well. Well,
I know as a co-founder for Campus Legends, you really got to be excited about the opportunity that this is going to present for everyone involved in this. How much input do you have as far as with the creative team? Do they come to you and say, hey, Tim, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Do you give much?
Yeah, I give some. I'd say not a lot because there's a lot of people that are a lot more creative than me. Let's just be honest about that. And they blow my ideas out of the water. I think probably the two biggest areas that I've really wanted to have input is the Five for All Fund, where with each partnership of the university that we're giving 5% of the gross marketplace revenue to those athletes of those of that school that signed up. And so whether your collectible maybe didn't do quite as good as the quarterbacks or the pitcher or the 3-point shooter, that we're still being able to support all those athletes that have signed up. That's very, very important to me. And then also the Helping Hands Foundation, which we started under Campus Legends, that is going to find current and former student athletes that are in a time of need, and then be able to really step up and help those families and help them and love them and support them through it. And those are two areas that were very passionate to me because, you know, I think that progress is awesome. And I think, you know, this whole digital collectible space and NFTs is progress in so many different areas. But I think if you just have progress and you don't have purpose, we're missing the mark. And I wanted to have both. And so, you know, that's actually a little bit of how the ideas even started back in the day. Is there were several, you know, people reach out to me, hey, can we do an NFT with you of, you know, some things you care about? And I just, you know, would try to learn a little bit more. And you're kind of like, well, what the heck is an NFT? And I'm learning, trying to learn more. And then I was like, well, that's cool, but all it is just a payday. And so I wanted that to be, I kind of thought, hey, how cool if we did this, but we also, you know, not just had this progress, but we also had purpose behind it, you know, with the Five for All Fund and the Helping Hands Foundation. And so both of those were very, you know, personal to me, because I just seen so many current and former student athletes that need that. And I think it's going to be really, really rewarding to be able to do that for so many amazing athletes that have done and given us so many memories.
Well, that's awesome, Tim. What are your relationships like with some of the former Heisman Trophy winners? How often do you get together, interact, talk about stuff? And as you said, maybe some of them are in need and they're going through some hardship. Do they lean on you sometimes and maybe for some advice, for some guidance, for some uplifting?
I don't know if they lean on me. I think there's some of us that kind of lean on each other, that we do stuff to support one another. I can't tell you how many of them have supported me and the Tim Pua Foundation in our Galen golf tournament. And I've done that for other teams, for supporting Eddie George and things he's doing and his team now and everything, and jumping on his podcast, and then Tim Brown and, you know, Paul Horning. I feel like there was a lot of rally around that. So many guys, and shoot, Tim, you know, Tim Brown won hit a hole in one on 17 this year in our foundation's golf tournament.
Wow.
And, you know, just, I just think, you know, whether that's to just shooting guys and encouraging texts before games, or it's, you know, their foundations and their events. And I think there's a lot of support for one another in that. I think, you know, just looking forward to seeing, we always look forward to seeing guys at the Nissan shoots. That's really fun and we enjoy it. I mean, I truly say, you know, people are like, how long do you film? And we're like, usually around 3 days. But to be honest, probably the majority of that time is laughing, telling stories, and usually listening to Bo Jackson, you know, tell the most stories, because everybody wants to hear what he has to say, you know. And so it's really fun, you know, when he's doing his stuff in Chicago, we'll send stuff to him, and And it's just, I feel like there's a really cool camaraderie and relationship. And I don't know, maybe support system is a good way to say it a little bit.
That's pretty awesome, man. And always appreciate how you're involved in so many different things, Tim. Robert Griffin III this weekend, and I just spoke to him a little. It's ironic that I'm talking to you after speaking to him a little bit, and he throws your name out there as Florida should go out there and hire Tim Tebow to be their next head coach. So what did you think when RG3 put that out there?
You know, what's funny is I was actually at the athletic director of Auburn, Mr. Green's house, where he had all the team over from SEC Nation. Mm-hmm. And I get a text from a few friends and a few, and they say, congrats. And I'm like, what? Who's texting me congrats? And they're like, congrats on the new gig. And I'm like, what do you mean congrats on the new gig? I'm like, what's happening? And I text one of them back, and I'm like, what do you mean congrats on what new gig? And he's like, the Florida thing. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then he sent me over, and he thought like it was, you know, like a done deal or something. And I was like, oh no, that's just, you know. And I thought it was nice, and it was cool, and it was cool of RG3 to think of me. But you know, he's such a nice guy, and we've gotten along over the years. And but it was funny. He definitely made a lot of people reach out to me for a couple days.
Is that, I know you've done so much, is that something, have you ever even considered like the idea, the possibility of somewhere along the line going into coaching?
Yeah, I would say I've considered it, and there would be a definitely a passion behind it. I think the hardest thing for me is there's so many things that I am very passionate about. Number one being everything that we're doing at CTF, and now we're in 67 countries, and we're building, you know, more hospitals right now, when we're building more special needs, you know, orphanages and villages, and rescuing girls from trafficking and all this. And so I just am so passionate about that it's a little bit, I would love to coach and love to support, you know, build culture and love on, you know, student athletes. But I think what would be hard is I know if I did that, I would be so all in, and it would really be hard to do some of the other things that I'm so passionate about as well.
Tim, I want to ask you about that a little bit, because my wife and I are really passionate about trying to fight and do what we can to make it known that trafficking is something that 40 million people, 10 million children are stuck in trafficking and slavery. Yeah. And I kind of feel like, I don't know why, but I kind of feel like this is, it's not talked about enough. And I know you do tremendous work with it. How do we let it be known? How do we get more people on board? Like, sometimes I sit there and I think to myself, we fight about all these other things in the world, yet we don't give enough to this one cause that everyone should be united about.
Yeah, there's no doubt. To me, we just believe it's one of the greatest forms of evils in the world today. And it's not just something that is happening overseas or in a third world country, or when you turn on the movie Taken. It's happening in our backyard. It's happening in our schools. It's happening in our communities. And it's not just the lower income. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And by the way, one of the most disturbing stats is the number one consumer is the U.S.
Wow.
In the world. The number one consumer is the U.S. And it's one of the fastest growing businesses in the world. And that's where we just, to be honest, we've been in this fight since 2013. But really, the early 2020, we just felt like, you know what? We're losing. We're just getting our butts kicked in this battle. Yeah. And we need to take a different approach. And so that's when we really decided, you know what? Instead of being more quiet about it, because there is parts of this in safe homes that you do have to be very private about identity and backgrounds and stuff like that. But then said, you know what, we're going to keep that part private, but we're going to be more overt about our about what we're doing, so we can raise awareness, so we can raise more people to join this fight. Because honestly, this isn't something that's just going to be won by a few nonprofits. This is going to take an army of people that say, no longer on our watch are we going to sit back and let this happen, or watch this happen, or support it happening, you know, because also so much of this is supported by what used to be called OSEC, Online Sexual Exploitation of Children. Now they're using more of a term called CSAM, Child Sexual Abuse Material, and it's running rampant around the world. And through COVID, it spiked like crazy here in the U.S., but especially in other places like the Philippines. That's kind of the epicenter of it, and it's a country that's near and dear to my heart. where I was born and lived, and we do so much ministry. And so, you know, we just decided we got to, and so that's where we started the rescue teams, and we've partnered with, you know, Governor Lee in the state of Tennessee, and we're working in a bunch of states, and we're opening places in Ohio and Dallas, and open a few more in Florida, and we're trying to get to as many countries as we can. But this is going to take, we feel like it's going to take volunteers, it's going to take nonprofits, it's going to take law enforcement, it's going to take forms of government, all working together to push back this evil. And so it's something that me and my wife together are so passionate about fighting back. And, you know, when you hear the stories of the rescue and the restoration, and, you know, one special girl, you know, that she just got engaged, and she's been in one of the safe homes for a while going through the restoration process, and she just got engaged. And, you know, another one just got a promotion in her job, and I can't say where she works, but, and she's killing it. And, you know, you just see their lives start to flourish and take off. And, you know, I think I could just go over story after story. And one of the ones that really changed my heart was a young girl that didn't make enough money as a, she was forced by her family to do this, and she didn't make enough money. And her mom was so upset that she pulled her inside and she boiled out her eye.
Oh my gosh.
You know, when you hear that, and I am around her and hugging her, like, how can you not? I don't know how it's hard for me to understand how you could see that and you could hear that story and it could not move you to want to do something.
Tim, I agree with you 1,000%. It's something that's been on my heart, and something that my wife and I try to use our platform as best as we can, and appreciate everything that you're doing with it in any way we can help you. We certainly want to do that. One last thing for you. As we enter this Christmas season, I want to ask you the meaning, what it means to you to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, on December 25th.
Oh, man. First of all, I just love the way that you worded it. I think that Christmas is really probably the most special time to me of any time of the year. And I think it's for so many reasons. It's number one, because of what you just said, it is the birth of our Savior. And when we remember why he came and the purpose in which he came, then I think it propels us to celebrate Christmas in even more of a meaningful way. Why we give gifts for Christmas is because the greatest gift of all time was given in Jesus. And then we understand what he did on the cross, what he defeated, and how that gift is so personal to us when we accept what Jesus did for us, and how it truly changes our life and from the inside out. And now when we give gifts, it's not because, oh, we just love someone. We also, yes, we love them, and we want to give them a gift, and we want to bless them, and we want to make them smile. But we also get to remember that the greatest gift of all time was given to us and for us. You know, like the angel said, the good news, a great joy, which should be for all the people. And that just should spur us to remember that it's not just for family and for close friends, but it's the good news, a great joy for all people. So when we drive by people, remember it's for them and it's for me, it's for everybody. And I think it should spur us to go to love people, to care for people, to help people, to serve people, to do more for people, because it is the good news, the great joy that's for all people. And so, yes, as we celebrate, we open stockings, we give gifts, but it should also spur us to remember the greatest gift was what Jesus did on a rescue mission for us. And we need to be on a rescue mission to share the love and the hope that comes from Jesus with everyone.
Tim, beautifully said, man. I appreciate you, brother, as always. Thank you so much for your time.
I appreciate you. Thank you, man. I really appreciate you. You fitting me in.
All good, my man. Thank you.
Thanks,
have a
buddy.
Great Christmas
God
season.
God bless you, man.
Thank
Merry
you.
Christmas to you too, man.
That's it for this week. Thank you to Tim Tebow and Pastor Johnny Scott. Thank you to Doug Horton, Pastor Scott, Josh, and everyone on our team. And thank you for listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. We want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. With Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody.
Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's Dairy Stores now operates 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh, quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest. Coffee's hot and fresh. And Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on-site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.